to minister the word today.
Well, praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah. I'm glad this mic is low because I can speak loud. Somebody must have already had some past experience, so made sure that it was nice and low for me already. Hallelujah. I am excited to be here today. As your pastor, Pastor Meehan, mentioned, it is one of the awesome times where I get to have my wife and my kids that come with me. My wife, Amanda, she is the Sunday school director at our church up north, so sometimes she just has to be up there and help with the kids and everything else while I'm down here. But I praise God that we were able to work it out to where she was going to be able to be down here with us today. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, it is a blessing when you have a family that stands behind you. Amen? Hallelujah. There is such a blessing with a church family, but when you have a family that prays with you, she prayed with me this morning as I was preparing for this message, and it's a blessing. She is a blessing to my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Also a blessing to my life is this church. I am so glad that I get to be a part of it, a part of what God is doing. Get to be a part of working and sometimes here, doing kind of everything, man, here when I can in the past too, and love the fellowship that we have. I'm so thankful for Pastor Meehan. He is a good friend of mine, a dear friend, and I'm so thankful for him and thankful for the opportunity to preach. Amen? All right. Well, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know exactly the way that God's going to take this message, but I truly believe that it is to encourage us to know that God is moving and working in Martin County. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to say it again. God is moving and working in Martin County. God is going to do something awesome through Higher Purpose Pentecostal Church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By the power of the Almighty God, things are changing. God is moving. Hallelujah. I'm so excited for what He has in store. Praise the Lord. So I pray I can both encourage you and challenge you. I can both prepare you and convict you to walk in the way that God wants us to walk so we can see the fullness of what God intends to do. If you have your Bibles, let us go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, I've got two scriptures for you this morning, so don't close your Bible when we get to Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. We're going to have to turn a little bit more, all right? Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. See a few pages turning, so I'll be respectful of those who are opening it up. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Again, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Hallelujah. Now let's jump to the New Testament, going to the book of Luke. Chapter 18, and beginning with verse 1. Hallelujah. Luke 18 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. And he spake a parable of them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. By the power of God and by his willingness and using me as a vessel for his will and his purpose, I want to talk to you a little bit about when God shows up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, we magnify you, God. You are preparing a way and a place before us to see things that we've never seen before, to work in ways that we've never worked before, to move in ways that you've never moved before. Hallelujah. I believe that you are working and moving right now for an awesome revival in Martin County, an awesome revival in Stewart, and an amazing revival in Higher Purpose Pentecostal Church. God, you lead us and you prepare us this morning
for what you're intending to do, for your will being done, God. Oh, hallelujah. Open our hearts and our minds, our souls, to receive your wisdom and instruction, God. And I submit myself and surrender myself to you, oh God. Use me according to your will and work as we give you the glory, you the honor, and all the praise. And in your name, Jesus, do we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the precious name of Jesus. The preacher. Most scholars believe that this was King Solomon that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes later on in his life. There are some things that might not be so happy in the book of Ecclesiastes, but it is still full of wisdom, which is rightfully so by King Solomon writing it. And so we find kind of after the preamble, after kind of talking through who he is and what he's doing and the things that he's seen, he goes into chapter 3 and begins to talk about the seasons. The prophet, the preacher says that there's a season for everything under the earth, and we know that very clearly because, well, maybe not as much in Florida, but in most other parts of the world, there is a spring, summer, fall, and winter. Amen? It's very easy to distinguish all of them. In Florida, we kind of have about two seasons, colder, a little less, like mild, and then scorching hot, right? But there's still seasons. Amen? Amen. And so God used that, and he created. If you look at the scriptures of creation in Genesis chapter 1, it talks through that he created the seasons. Amen. He prepared so that there would be different seasons and different distinguishments of those seasons. I believe God prepared that in the natural realm, in the seasons of the year, to help us know when to do what we need to do. Amen. The farmer knows that when spring comes, it's time for spring harvest. When summer comes, it's time to plant for the fall harvest. And when winter comes, it's time to take all the stuff and the grain and everything in from the fall and prepare for what's going to come back in the spring. There is a season and a purpose and a way to see signs to make sure that we're prepared for what's about to come. I believe in the same way, as the preacher makes a distinguishment and says, it's not just about summer and fall and winter and spring, but it's also about every season for our lives. And he explains a time to be born and a time to die, time to laugh, a time to mourn. He goes into all these different things that also begin to speak to the seasons of our lives. And even with those seasons, we can also see that there is a plan and a purpose and signs that can prepare us for what's ahead. For instance, if you are a newly married couple and your wife starts getting sick in the morning and smells start really getting on her nerves, maybe sometimes her emotions kind of get the best of her, you may be knowing that all of a sudden your life is about to change because you're about to enter the season of childbearing. Amen? When that child comes, beautiful and wonderful little baby, when they start to get on all fours and rock back and forth, you know that they're about to crawl and your life is going to change again. And when they stand up all by themselves, can I get amen, somebody? Hallelujah. When they stand up all by themselves and they're able to stand there for a few seconds without doing anything else, you know that you're about to enter in a season of chasing the thing that you love the most around to make sure that they don't destroy themselves. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But there's a season in that child's life. There's a season in your life as a parent. And God has blessed us with signs and commonalities between those two to recognize what season we're about to enter into. Sometimes our seasons are great and they're wonderful, as with a baby. Sometimes we may start seeing a loved one that's older in age, that's more advanced in age, that starts not remembering anything, that can't remember their children's name and starts to struggle. And we know that that's the season where we need to start preparing for what's coming next. Amen? As with the natural seasons, God also moves in seasons. I believe wholeheartedly that God prepares the things of the natural to explain the spiritual. And so in life, we go through seasons in our spiritual walk as well. There are seasons of rapid growth and acceleration and wisdom and understanding of God. There's times where whatever we pray for, God does it in an instant. When we go and lay hands on people, all of a sudden they are healed right there. There are times where we can talk to anybody and they all of a sudden recognize that they need God and that they make the steps toward Him. But there's other times where there's seasons where it's hard to get out of bed. And it's hard to get out of the house. And it's hard to talk to somebody else. And it's painful to walk or to move or to do anything. And sometimes the spirit of depression tries to attack us. Am I preaching to anybody? Oh, Jesus. Sometimes we run into seasons of dryness where when we pray, we just don't seem to feel anything. Oh, hallelujah. When we come to worship in the church, we worship because we know we need to. But sometimes we may not walk with the change that we used to have after we leave service. Oh, hallelujah. I pray that I'm speaking to somebody. Maybe it's just me. I remember times in my life where it's been a struggle to serve the Lord. It's been hard. Hallelujah. Not because God's not good. No, just because the season I was in my life made it difficult. Amen. But that is okay, because God is going to make a way. If there is a season of doubt, if there is a season of tears, there's also a season of rejoicing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, those tears may endure for a night. Joy will come in the morning. I'm here to tell you, God has prepared a season, a prepared place for us to be able to walk above the temptations that are in our life, walk above the situations that we face, to walk in victory and not defeat. Liberty, conquerors, hallelujah. Hallelujah, not defeated. Hallelujah, I'm here to tell you, I don't know what season you're in, but I believe that some of you here are going through a season in the wilderness, in the desert, a season of drought, a season of pain, a season of issues that you're causing a struggle. I'm here to tell you, encourage you, beseech you, beg you, don't give up. Because just as assuredly there's a season of proud, there is a season of victory. Just as surely as there's a season of tears, there's a season of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Oh, and even if it doesn't happen on this earth, if we serve Him to the end of our days, we get to see Him face to face. I'm going to tell you, we're not fighting today for just good times on this earth. We're not fighting today just to be happy and content on this earth. We are fighting the enemy today so that we can see Him face to face and be in the place where every tear is wiped from our eyes, where there's no more pain, no more death, no more suffering. Oh, hallelujah. And to bring people along with us. Amen? I got a little quiet on that one. Hallelujah. I truly believe that at Higher Purpose Pentecostal Church, God is intending to bring the former and the latter rain very soon. I believe that revival is stirring. And it is on His way. That the former and latter rain is representative of what is needed to prepare for the harvest. So just a little bit of education moment here. When you're talking about former and latter rain, remember the context in which the Bible was written. There was not necessarily dollars and cents. There was land and cattle and food. Grain in abundance, all those other things, right? And so when trees and fruit trees and all those things. So when you talked about your livelihood, you talked about the number of cattle and the number of trees and the amount of grain that you could get, right? So with that, relying on nature, they had to rely on God to provide what was needed for the harvest. Amen. Rain was very important back then, because if it did not rain, you weren't going to get a paycheck. Amen. If it did not rain, you were going to have to figure out how to make sure that your family was able to get food. Many, many people became slaves back in that day because they had a bad crop, a bad year, and they had to figure out some way to feed their families. Amen? And so Jesus, in this time frame, God is chastising through the prophet Joel these people, and he's telling them, you're done wrong, but turn back to God. Repent, wail, rinse your heart and not your garments. And as he's speaking to this, he gives a promise. I will restore what the cankerworm has eaten. Although the fruits of your land that have been torn up by the pests and the destruction from your disobedience, I'll restore it. I'll bring back more fruit than you've ever seen before. And then he says, I will bring the former and the latter rain in the first month. The first month was right before the barley harvest. The first month was right before the wheat harvest. You must have a good rain. First rain is part of sowing. It helps the seeds germinate, which means to die and to grow up. But then that last rain helps feed the plants and helps give them that last little push before they're ready for the harvest. Amen? Okay, what are you saying, Brother Sean? That was a lot of words. Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. The harvest is Jesus' return when he catches his people away in the air. The former and the latter rain is God's Spirit being poured out on as many people as he can so that they can be caught away in the harvest. I'm here to tell you, Higher Purpose Pentecostal Church is on the forefront, hallelujah, of the former and the latter rain. There's going to be more gathered than you've ever seen before. God is leading people to true salvation in preparation of the greatest harvest ever told. Hallelujah. But we must be looking for the right signs. If not, we're going to miss out on what God is trying to do. If we take it back a little bit to the first coming of God manifest in flesh. Hallelujah. We find that it was ripe for revival. We had 400 silent years after the prophets had chastised the children of Israel for falling so far away from God. They realized that they made mistakes and messed up, and you see in Ezra and Nehemiah that they're trying their best to observe the law, to observe the ceremonies and the things that God had told them to do. They're trying to get right. There's a lot going on in the 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New. But in the preparation of that, Rome began to develop and began to become a stronghold in the world. And what happened was Rome was really good about building roads. And there were roads everywhere in that area, all the way up to England, and all the way down to places in Africa, all the way west to places in Eastern Asia. Hallelujah. God was moving and working in a mighty way. And so at this time, God knew that it was the perfect time for revival, so he sent himself in flesh. Unfortunately, those that were the closest that should have understood the Messiah's coming were the furthest away from him. And please understand, you know, we love as humans to talk about, you know, good guy, hero, and villain, right? This world is a lot more complicated than that. And we have to understand that these Pharisees were not necessarily bad people. You see, as Jesus is coming, you also have this influence of the Greek philosophy and pagan rituals coming in to the Jewish religion. The Pharisees were the ones that said, I'm going to stand up and make sure that God's people obey the laws and the customs. I'm going to make sure that we live right and don't live to the influences of this world. Sound familiar? Amen. The problem is that as they developed that, they started focusing more on the law and more on their position of power or their place with God than on what God was doing. So much so that when he came to save them and all those that are around them, they rejected him because he didn't match what they thought. Oh, hear me, church, hear me. This is not Sean Mayo trying to talk to pastor every night for 2 hours trying to figure out every person in the church and what's going on. I just feel that this is laid on my heart. I'm not blaming or accusing or chastising anybody. I'm just speaking what God lays on my heart, all right? Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to be careful, because what we see and how we think and what we think our wisdom is and how God's going to work may not be the way that he decides to work. The Pharisees were expecting the King of Kings to strode in on a mighty, magnificent stallion and to walk them right up to the emperor's door and tear down the strongholds of the Roman Empire and for the old children of Israel to reign forevermore upon this earth, instructing and leading every single pagan worshiper in the ways of the Lord. Though that was prophesied to happen, God had a more deeper thing in mind. He wanted to save the souls of every person on this earth. So he came as the lowliest of low so that everybody could relate to him. Everybody could connect with him. Everybody could be in the place where they could follow him. What are you trying to say, Brother Sean? I'm trying to say that what comes in this revival may not be what you expect. What's going to happen as people come in and people file in to see what God is doing may not be what you're used to. I'll go even further to say what Pastor Meehan leads us to do as a church may not match what's been done in the past. Is it going to be against the Word of God? Absolutely not. But it may be against what you thought and believed what the Bible was saying. Amen? If you want to bring something common to this, we find this common argument when it talks about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Man's wisdom says, just believe. Everything will be okay. But the Bible says that believing has an action. If I am a thief, I'm not. If I am a thief, and I walk into Pastor Meehan's house, and I steal everything he's got, and he catches me. And I say I'm sorry, and I'll never do it again, and I give everything back. There's two choices he can make in general. One, he can believe me. He can do whatever he feels is necessary, accept me into his home, whatever, show signs of believing me. Or he can say, I believe you, or say, I don't believe you, and not have me anywhere near him. Amen? Believing requires action. If we say that we believe on Jesus Christ, that means we say we believe the words he says. And the words he says is, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you are born of the water, baptism, and of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, you shall not see and enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus also said it shall be as rivers flowing with living water. There's going to be something that comes out of you that bursts forth when my Spirit enters you. Amen? He also said to believe what they are speaking, the apostles and prophets and the disciples of Jesus, to trust in them, to hear them. He taught them the words that they needed to know. Amen? So when Peter stands upon the thousands of people there for the Passover and says, repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's what we must do if we believe. That's what we must do if we are saved. Hallelujah. But in today's day, that may not look like what may be common wisdom. It didn't make sense back then, and it doesn't make sense now. That's okay. God doesn't have to make sense to us. Amen? We just have to do what he said. When our love for God is tied with our constraints on God, we sometimes can find ourselves as the enemy of God until he chastises us. I'll say it again. When our love for God is tied with our constraints on God, we can find ourselves as the enemy of God until we repent, until we find something different. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't believe me? Look at Saul. Saul was the man that turned into Paul and was one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. But he loved God before he became an apostle. He just didn't understand. He was looking at man's wisdom. He was looking at made sense from the law standpoint. It wasn't until God struck him down that he realized, oh, Jesus, you are Lord. Hallelujah. You were here with us. Oh, hallelujah. You told us what was needed for salvation. Hallelujah. God's going to move in a way that we don't expect, in a way that doesn't make sense. Are you willing to let God work the way he wants to? Or will you reject his work because it doesn't look like what you expect? Hallelujah. I told you I wanted to lift you up, and I did that, I believe. I also told you that I want to challenge you. Revival is hard. It's hard work. It's effort. It's a blessing because you can almost see almost immediate repercussion of what you do in the kingdom of God. But it is difficult. It takes prayer. It takes dedication. It takes seeking the face of God. It takes believing God when things don't make sense. It takes trusting in the Lord. But it is so necessary. Because when you walk in revival, you see all your loved ones walk in too. You see your friends and your coworkers walk in too. Oh, it may be a struggle. It may hurt sometimes. You may be offended at times. Oh, but God is doing a greater work than you can ever imagine. And you've got to trust in his process. Trust in his plan. You must also trust in the man of God that is in your life. I don't know why I feel led to say this, but I'm going to, because I'm going to do what God tells me to do, my brothers and sisters. If you want to get in the most dangerous position of God as quick as you can, start talking against your pastor. If you really want to put yourself in a place where you are going to be facing judgment from God, speak against the man of God that's in your life. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, with revival coming, you've got to trust him. You've got to trust that man of God, that God is speaking to him. I'm not saying trust him over God. I'm not saying put him as a God. Amen? But trust God and trust that God is speaking to him to lead this church. God has given him as the under-shepherd of this church, and you've got to follow him. That's what God expects. Hallelujah. That will bring revival. That will bring victory. That will bring liberty. Because when you're not in contention with the man of God, it allows God to work more effectively in you and through you. He doesn't have to get past your arguments. He doesn't have to get past your resentment. He doesn't have to get past your bitterness. He can say, okay, well, this person is aligned and ready to go. I'm going to work the power of revival through them. Hallelujah. Lastly, we go back to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. He spake this parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We have to listen to the man of God in our lives. We have to be close to God to understand the times and the seasons that he's leading us to. But the only way that we can do both that I am ever aware of and that I've ever seen in the Word of God is through the discipline of faithfulness. As I said before already, I know that there are some of you here that have been going through probably some of the hardest struggles of your life, that have been going through the deepest and darkest situations that you've ever faced. There's probably some people that are going through things that just don't make sense. They just don't understand. They don't know why. Let's be honest. They don't even know why God is allowing them to go through this. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That is the process before revival, I truly believe. But the way to overcome it and to get through it is to be faithful to the house of God, to the man of God, to your times of prayer and reading the word. Hallelujah. When Jesus had spoken a hard saying to a bunch of people that wanted to be his disciples and they walked away, the 12 were remaining, and he said, will you leave also? Peter said, Lord, where else will we go?
for you alone have the keys to eternal life. Where else are you going to go when things get hard and situations you face are painful? Where else are you going to go that has any hope of victory over depression, over sickness, over pain, over sorrow, over confusion? Where else are you going to go that provides peace, that passes all understanding, that provides joy unspeakable and full of glory? I'm here to tell you, yes, those tears may be enduring right now. Yes, those problems may be facing. Yes, it may be hard to trust in the Lord. Yes, it may be difficult. I'm here to tell you, stay faithful. And the season will come where you'll leap for joy and be happy in the Lord and be joyful because you're a part of the revival that God is bringing. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Will you know when Jesus visits you? Will you be ready when he comes with a miracle? Will you believe when he says to move? Will you be aware enough to know when he is going to move? I truly believe this country is turning back to Jesus, and I believe God is pouring out his latter-day outpouring right now. Will you be a part of it? God is wanting to do more than you've ever experienced or imagined. Will you take him at his word? Will you allow him to move in a deeper way? Will you be faithful enough to pray one more time? God, I've prayed 30 times for my father to be saved. But God, oh, hallelujah, you said to be faithful. You said to be persistent. So God, one more time, save my father. God, my coworkers, I've prayed for them for years. Oh, hallelujah, it's been tough. It's been a struggle. But Lord, I'm going to pray one more time. Save my coworkers. God, there's been pain in my body, issues that I don't understand. So God, one more time, I'm going to pray. Oh, heal my body. Luke 18 brings the parable of an unjust judge where a woman is asking, avenge me, O judge, for people that have done wrong to me. Judge doesn't care. Doesn't regard God nor man. He doesn't care about this woman. But because of the woman's persistence, he said, she's going to drive me crazy. So I might as well do whatever she asks. And God says, hear what the unjust judge saith. If the judge that regards not God or man, that doesn't care a lick about this person that is speaking to him, is willing to do something because of her persistence, how much more is God? Will you pray one more time? Will you seek his face one more time? Will you hunger after him one more time? Will you cry out to him one more time? I'm going to tell you, revival is coming. God is moving, and he wants to pour out his spirit. Hallelujah. These altars are open. I wonder if we can take some time to seek the face of God, to find our place with him. Hallelujah. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in a different language,